Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Haw every Tuesday.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. We are here with Coach Wannstedt, always a highlight of the week. Dave, good morning. How are you doing?
You know, tough game there, tough loss, obviously. But, you know, I'm not even going to get into the quarterback thing. I am exhausted with that. So for our listeners,
All right.
You know, I mean, I'll talk about it, but we've got other issues that if I'm the head coach right now that I'm concerned with.
Start them. Just line them up for
priorities.
Us.
Priorities. What are
we
your priorities?
We agree with you. Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing is if this team, I don't think regardless of who the quarterback is, that unless they are playing a top 10 defensive level, the whole defense I'm talking about, and they are making plays, we're just going to be an average football team. I mean, when you look at the Bears and you talk to people around the league about the Bears, the first thing, they're not talking about David Montgomery. They're not, the quarterback thing is on the back burner. The conversation starts with the Bears' defense because of the talent over there and because of how that we've seen those guys perform. So that would be my starting point. I mean, you know, what do we have? We had zero tackles for loss, zero takeaways, and one sack. You know, when the Bears were good and we made that playoff run, they were averaging two turnovers, two takeaways a game. They were making plays. The last couple of years we've hit a dry spell. Why is that? I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's scheme. I'm not going to say it's players are getting old. The offense. I don't know. I don't have a definite answer right now. But all I know is if that defense is average, like they were, or below average, then it's going to be a tough year.
How would you approach fixing the secondary or addressing the issues that you saw exploited on Sunday night?
Boy, it just doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency. I mean, that's the biggest thing that I took away. I mean, we can be as calm as we want, but someone needs to bust a blackboard or upset a Gatorade table. I mean, that's the school that I come from, you know, when stuff like that happens. And that doesn't solve your problem. You still got to get the guys out there and coach it. I would hope that they watch that play, both those plays, really. Those two big plays were the second one was almost crazier. I mean, truly, from a coach's standpoint, it looked like they were in quarters coverage, and the safety just – dropped. I don't know if now I will say this. Stafford did a great job of looking that thing off. You know, he made an impression like he was going to throw to the defense's right.
Yep.
And the safety on the right started going that way. But even so, I mean, God, you know, you got to, that to me is defensive football 101, man. You stay as deep as the deepest. That's
right.
Your job.
And I mean, it looked as if, you know, Marquis Christian was playing nickel and he was he came a certain way with them, and then he was handing them off to the safety, which is what the
quarters.
What, if you're playing quarters, that's exactly. So I think a lot of people have been blaming him on that play, and it was Eddie Jackson, frankly, that came down. And I don't know how that I don't know how you can let a guy land, get back up, and run in from the 12-yard line. If you have your defense as good as they are, you got to put a hand on them. And then to have a guy wide open, just running free. And you know, Sean Payton, we talked about this, 37-0 when leading at halftime, now 38-0. He comes out, he must have seen something, because the minute they come out, bam, they're scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, no, they scored 14 points in the third quarter. You're right. You know, and I always looked at it this way from a coach, and this is how I would tell my assistant coaches and my coordinators primarily. Guys, let me tell you something. If a ball's thrown in the air, excuse me, and we have one of our guys and one of the off receivers going up or tight end, whoever, and it's a jump ball situation. Just picture that. And they come down with the ball, excuse me, then I got to go get better players, okay? We got out jumped. We got out. Now, if somebody runs down the middle of the field free or they hand the ball off in the backfield and they run up the middle of our line and we don't touch them, I got a problem with my coaches right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? What are we doing schematically?
Right.
You know, either it's a bad scheme or the players don't understand, but that can't happen.
All right, Dave, so head coaching mechanics, we have had a hard time understanding this. That oversight by Eddie Jackson and Tayshaun Gibson was so egregious, not touching the player at the 12-yard line. But the hear Nat Nagy say that he had yet to talk to them about it yesterday afternoon. Yeah. Did you find that odd? Or as a head coach, when you have a problem like that, wouldn't you address it immediately, or is that asking too much?
Right on the field. I mean, you that's what I'm talking about. There's got to be a sense of urgency. And, you know, yeah, that I didn't hear that statement. That's hard to believe. It truly is. I mean, you give up a touchdown of any nature in that manner, and the discussion, you know, a day later is or 2 days later is still, I don't know. I'm that one kind of takes me back. That's the first time I'm hearing this.
Yeah, I you know, it was really surprising. I think we have the cut. I mean, we ought to just take a listen to what he said. Here it is.
I haven't talked to Eddie or T. Gipp yet, but I know what those guys are about. I know how much they care. And it's not about gray space for them. It's not about being nonchalant. That's not what this is. It's for them just to next time they get in that situation, just be more aggressive and make sure that they touch them down. And they'll do that. And you know, once they put that together, they make a play on it, and they're able to make sure that he is down, and there is no touchdown. But it's a learning tool for them, and I know that they'll fix it and they'll be better for it.
You know, again, there's a difference between a physical mistake and a mental error. And if a guy is a rookie and is used to the college rules, you might have to have a word with him. To have a couple of veteran safeties in that situation, it's really unacceptable. And that really needs to be what's said there.
What did Eddie Jackson say after the game?
He wasn't made available. There was one player that spoke on behalf of the entire disappointing defense, and that was Roquan Smith. Nobody else has
spoken. He had 15 tackles, right?
Yeah, I mean, he had 11 tackles.
There you go. Let's bring him up.
He had a good game.
Yeah, he did.
Who else? Nobody else. Yeah. Okay, we'll stick it to one.
Then. Well, all I know, not to pile on this thing, but I fly Chicago, L.A. every week. It's about a 4 to 4.5 hour plane ride. I mean, you got four and a half.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Oh, that's a long time. I would have watched that game twice myself, you know, I used to keep the seat open and be calling players up. I mean, during the game, that was kind of my deal. Hey, get Eddie Jackson up here right now. I want to go over this play with him. I mean, I don't know.
Dave,
I don't
know. How important is it, generally speaking, maybe specifically about this week, though, when a head coach does speak publicly, to set a tone one way or another? I you know, we talked yesterday about, we heard from Matt Nagy on Monday and we heard from him on Sunday night, and both Molly and I and other people have commented on how it just didn't seem to be that reaction that you would expect. He almost seemed like, well, you know what, we didn't get blown out on national television. Things aren't that bad.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
It matters in Chicago. I know that. I mean, you know, this is this. I know this town. We all do. I mean, we live here, and I know the mentality of this town, and you know, it's an emotional town when it comes to their football, and these fans know their football, and it hurts. There's anger. I know all the emotions. I've heard it. You know what I mean? No, really, I've heard it on both sides, good and bad. And so this is, yeah. If it would have been a quarterback thing, if Justin Fields would have started the game, and they lose by a touchdown or two, and he misses a few throws, then maybe that's it. But boy, when it's when your defense is in that situation and your longest pass play is not even 20 yards down the field. You know, a stat that got me, and besides the defense, that was the number one thing with me, because I really thought those guys would take it to another level. They had to for the Bears to win. But the one that got me is their rushing yardage was a higher number, was like 5 yards, than their passing number.
Right.
I mean, that's almost unheard of, you know. Now, you know, is two things. Either, number one, they don't have confidence, or they didn't have confidence in the offensive line protecting to let the quarterback stand back there, and they didn't want him to get hit. Or, you know, this is just the mentality, just, you know, high percentage throws. I don't know, but that bothered me a little bit, that they didn't take more shots. And you got all these tight ends now. Put them in there to block. You know, I made the comment last year after the Bears game, when Tom Brady got hit in the mouth, the Bears win the game. They go back to Tampa, and Tom Brady sits down with Bruce Arians and says, this isn't going to fly. If I'm going to throw the ball down the field, we need to run it. We need to keep guys in to protect. I think the next 6 weeks they won six in a row. Well, they won them all from there on out. But I think we went about 5 or 6 weeks. Gronk didn't catch a pass. He was used as the next offensive lineman. So put more guys in there and block if that's your problem. But we got to have play action pass, and we got to throw the ball down the field. I mean, hey, I'm a run guy. You run it to win games and close out games, as the Rams did.
Yes, they did.
But
yeah,
you got to throw it to score points.
So in Matt Nagy's mind, and I'm not making this up, I'm just wondering, they scored 14 points, but does he think, well, you know, we should have had a touchdown on the interception, and we could have kicked a field goal, so we actually only lost by 10, not 20. Is there some weird the offense is working idea going on in his head despite the left tackle woes?
Well, I hope not. You know, I really hope not. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, you're back calling plays again. I love the mentality of running the football. I mean,
But they didn't run. I mean, they ran the kid 16 times. He did a lot of that on his own. Not like they ran him 25 times now.
Well, then once they got behind, I think that they had to go away from the run.
Fair enough.
He had 16 touches, 15 maybe by the end of the third quarter. So if you have a lead, I did buy that part of his explanation. Right. If they had a lead, I think Montgomery touches the ball 20 times.
I agree. You know, the one thing, too, that I thought of, and we've beat this to death, but I called defenses my first year, almost 2 years here at the Bears when I first got the job. And what you have to be able to do, and what I wasn't able to do as effectively, is you've got to have the handle on offense, defense, special teams. By that, I mean it's 4th and 4. And what goes into that is, do I have confidence in my defense? You know, this is a little bit of a risky call right now with my offense, my offensive line. I'm going to punt that ball down there to the 5-yard line, and my defense is going to go out there and stop them, and we're going to get good field position, and here we go, 1st and 10. You know, if offensive coordinators are hired to score points, defensive coordinators are hired to keep them out of the end zone. Special teams guys want to do stuff to score points and make plays. Everybody's got their role. As a head coach, you have to decide, you know, how are we going to win this game and where am I going to put my emphasis? And that was the thought that I had when they were going for it on all these fourth downs was, God, you know what I mean? Does Matt not have confidence in his defense? Can stop him if they punt the ball down her? Does he not have confidence in his special teams? Or is he just... Is he just reacting from an offensive coordinator standpoint and say, hey, I'm hired. I want to score points. An offensive coordinator, my guys would go for it every time. They're not an offensive coordinator in the NFL. If it's fourth and four, you say, do you want
to
punt?
But there's no one to tell him not to. And, Dave, I mean, the fourth and four, they finally punt on one, and they keep them down. They knock them down at the one. They get the ball back, and that's their touchdown.
Right.
And they go in down 13-7.
Great point.
They gave him 6 points by going for it on fourth and four twice. They gave up field goals. That was the difference at the half.
Complimentary football involves what you just described. So, Dave, what was going through your mind at 4th and 15 with the chance to kick a field goal to cut it to 10 with 10 to go?
Well, I'm and I said to those guys when that happened, I'm sitting there with Olin and Briggsy and those guys, and I mean that's an easy decision for me. You know what I mean? Please, I have confidence, you know, but I would have kicked the field goal, obviously, and let's play. We got time left, you know.
312-644-6767. That's the number. We're not taking your call. I don't know why I railed it off. But we have Coach Wonstead here. I'm getting a little agitated thinking about the game. And we're going to keep him, and we're going to talk more football. Mully and Ho on the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Dave Wonstead, hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. It's always a joy to talk to Coach Wonstead. And Dave, take a bow, because you kind of called it. You talked to us maybe 2 weeks ago about this idea of using Justin Fields, of using him as a red zone weapon, and that being kind of a specific use of the guy. Well, they used him, and they tried to use him in the red zone. He scored a touchdown. Obviously, the first time he came in, it was a run-pass option. Don't forget that. And he decided to pass, and he had a nice 8-yard pass. Now, they used him for 5 plays. They didn't put in a package of plays. We never saw him kind of, you know, I thought when he completed the 8-yard pass, and it's 3rd and 1, leave him in there. Let's see what he can do. But kudos to you for knowing how to use the guy.
Nice call. Yeah.
Well, it's not. It really comes down to, in my mind, of particularly when you got a young player, it's all about your preparation. And if you're going to be stuck in the game in a situation, okay, you're going in the first play of the second quarter. Well, what's the situation going to be? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm going to get 2 or 3 plays first down. I mean, someone jumps off sides. It's 1st and 15. Now I'm going to have a different play call. My thing is, it's NFL's all about situations. Put the kid in a situation where he can practice it, where in his mind he can visualize what's going to come on Sunday, and that will give him confidence in going out there and executing it. And my whole thing was the red zone, because not just sticking him in the red zone, but number one, he could get all the reps in practice, 1st down, 2nd down, 3rd down. So it doesn't matter what the situation is down and distance. He knows he's going to have a play that he's worked on. It doesn't matter where – you're not saying you're starting the beginning of the second quarter and we're backed up on our 5. or worth the 50 or worth the 10 going in. He knows the area of the field that he's going to be working in from the, say, 25-yard line in. Okay, that's a lot of stress off a kid's mind, and that really gives him a chance to get focused in. You know, that's my two thoughts with that. And, you know, I would really like to see it. And the third thing, from a defensive coach's standpoint, what are the most effective ways to score in the red zone? Running the ball, number one, and having a quarterback that can move the pocket. Because when you if you drop back in the red zone, there's very few windows, as we call them, or opportunities or throwing lanes to throw the ball. But when you move the pocket in the red zone, now your receivers know where they're going, quarterback knows where he's going, but now the entire defense, whatever coverage you're in, they have got to slide their coverage in unison with each other to match up with the offensive play. And that's where big throwing windows and big holes open up. Justin Fields does all those things great. He can run. He can make throws on the move. So it's an easy decision for me.
So, Dave, okay, let's look at that then, because if you can trust Justin Fields in the red zone, people will wonder, well, why can't you trust him if you start your drive at the 40 or the 35, and why can't you then turn over your entire offense to him? How far away do you think the Bears are from that?
Well, it depends on how Sunday goes. I mean, they got to win this game. And, you know, my opinion, they go out there and they don't beat Cincinnati, and then he's the starter week three, and let's go, you know? I mean, there's going to be some learning curves, and I wouldn't worry about it. That would be my approach. But, you know, I don't know. If you did the red zone, you're getting the practice work. The kid's going to have confidence. He's going to be able to look down and see this is the plays that they're going to dial up for me. He's going to know those plays inside and out. He's going to anticipate what the defense is going to be. Just makes sense to me.
Do you worry about his ability to protect himself? And we talked about this idea that, you know, we know the left tackle position is now a disaster. They're talking about starting their fourth left tackle on Sunday, if indeed that ends up being the case. And I think the other element here is you look at what Dalton did. Now, I know it's different with Aaron Donald and that pass rush, but he got rid of the ball, you know, couple seconds, boom. It wasn't, you couldn't really hold on to the ball because of that. And you worry that does he see where the blitz is coming? Does he understand where the pressure is coming? And is he going to try to hold the ball because he believes he can avoid a guy, make a play, use his athletic ability, which is astounding. So how do you handle whether or not you're ready to protect him or he's ready to protect himself?
Yeah, that's a kid. He just got to learn that, really. And he'll learn it quick. You know, I mean, you can work on it in practice. We used to have a timer there where we wanted the ball thrown, you know, in 2.5 seconds, and the timer would beep, you know, which was just a mental thing for the quarterback. Uh-oh, the ball needed to be out by that time. Other people, I've had a coach stander. I used to do this, and excuse me, he'd have a stopwatch, and he would time the quarterback. Whenever it got that, they would say time, you know, so he would be talking to him all the time. You got to hurry it up and so forth. So there's things that I'm sure the Bears are doing some of this stuff just to get him into the timing rhythm a little bit better for getting rid of the ball. But he's got to play. He's got to play, and that's the only way that he's going to get better. And as far as protecting him, if he was a quarterback that couldn't run or wasn't athletic, I would be more concerned. But he's going to make big plays because the protection breaks down and he's got to scramble. And whether it's a run or pass, he will make plays doing that. So, you got to trust him.
Dave, if you're the Bengals coaching staff defensively and you're watching tape of Sunday night's game and you know the Bears personnel and depth chart, what is your number one concern heading into this week playing the Bears offense?
Stop the run. You know, definitely stop the run. And the Bears are going to throw the ball down the field this week. There's too much criticism that they didn't do it week one. Excuse me. So regardless of who it is, if it's Dalton or Fields in there, you better, if I'm Cincinnati, I'm going to be on my defensive backs every day. I'm going to be throwing. I'm going to invent some deep balls this week. and I'm going to throw the ball down the field and make sure that we are sound on the back end. But the starting point would be we got to take David Montgomery out of the game, and let's see if Andy Dalton and let's see if Justin Fields can beat us.
Okay, so listen, we have a texter checking in. It's a good question, and you've kind of touched on it. But how would you or how would Jimmy have handled a play, the play of a safety like Eddie Jackson, who had other issues in the game, but the deep stuff, obviously, the biggest problem?
Well, there would have been a discussion on the field. I know that.
Right. You wouldn't have waited to talk to him on Tuesday.
No. I mean, that's
That discussion have been, son, find a commercial flight home?
No, I mean, not for me. For Jimmy, it might have been. God, when he cut Kerwin Richards.
Here in Soldier Field.
And Soldier Field.
And route to your first Super Bowl.
God, Kerwin was a pit guy. So I was pulling for Kerwin, and I saw him put the ball in the ground the second time, and Jimmy walked up and leaned down to him. And I know Jimmy like a brother, and I'm thinking to myself, here we go. And I think he told Kerwin, that was your last play as a Dallas Cowboy.
And it was. That's the real thing.
You know, we talked
thing.
About when they announced that Sean Desai was going to call signals from the booth, what mm-hmm. that meant and how it was an advantage. He could see everything, and he was good on the headset. But when you have a situation like you had with Eddie Jackson, sometimes that's a benefit of having your defensive coordinator on the sidelines.
Or, you know what, I always thought –
Butch, isn't it?
It's good.
I was in the box for 20 years, but I always had a guy on the sidelines that, now, number one, you talk to him on a headset. Immediately when those guys come off, you're having a discussion. But I always felt like you had to have and I'm using the expression today, you know, bust a chalkboard guy, throw something, scream. And Butch Davis was that guy for me.
Butch Davis?
And Butch was always down there. And when things went bad, I would say, Butch, you know, because you're going to need a spark for your defense. Hey, Butch, we are flat. Get them going. And that's all I had to say. And he would go back and get the defense together. And they knew where it was coming from because I did it for 14 hours a day, every day of the week. You know what I mean? So that was just how we coached, I guess. That was just our mentality. And but for sure, you know, I'm sure that they had a discussion in the press box with Eddie and that. I would be shocked if the defensive coordinator did not talk to him. I mean, that would be hard to believe.
But what did you think when you heard Sean Desai being described as being good on the headset?
Probably that he was calm and kept his cool and communicated well. You know, if you're calling something for the first time, you know, you got the calls in on time so the coaches could signal it. You know, that's how I read into that. That the communication was good between the press box, the sidelines, and the players. Communication was good. That's how I read it.
Wasn't it time to panic? It's nice that he was calm and
Yeah, because you know what? The communication might have been good between the sidelines and the coaching booth. It certainly wasn't good on the field.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's you guys are just hitting me from all angles here this morning. God.
We're being very unfair.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's a tough one. I'm going to give all these guys credit. They're all good coaches. They've been around. God, he's been around Fangio, you know,
yes,
a long time, who's as good as there is on defense. We all know that. So, I mean, you got to say, okay, the guy knows what to do and the guy has his own way. Everybody communicates a different way. We'll see what happens this week.
Dave, is the NFC North the 2021 answer to the 2020 NFC East? Does anybody want to win that division? Is it going to be a bunch of teams kind of trying not to lose? I mean, it was awful. Green Bay looked awful. Rodgers afterward looked awful. Yeah, he just looked haggard. He looked old.
Yeah, I didn't like his vibe either.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of issues going on, a lot of issues. Boy, the easiest way to be defeated is to be distracted. And right now, Green Bay is distracted. You know, whether it's coach, GM, quarterback, however, they are distracted right now. I don't think – no, the NFC North is not going to be – the NFC East is still going to be the NFC East, I'm afraid. Although Dallas, Dak Prescott, God bless
him. Yeah, he looked good.
You talk about a guy feeling good about your offense after a loss, Jerry Jones should have. And I guarantee you, he when he was flying back on that plane, he was thinking, you know what, Dak is back. We can win this East, and we will. So I think, you know, but the North, I don't know where Minnesota is. I really don't know. And you know, Rick Spielman's a friend, obviously. We worked together a long time. But
I believe they're offside, Dave.
Yeah. 12 penalties, Dave.
Yeah, they're not.
What's going on there?
They're not responding. And Mike Zimmer's a heck of a coach, but the guys just aren't responding right now. I don't know what the issue is. And Detroit is Detroit. I haven't seen them. We'll see them against Green Bay. So Green Bay's got a good game to bounce back this week. I know that.
Well, I would say right now the standings are Detroit, 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 Detroit. They're all kind of Detroit right now.
Everybody had their Detroit moment over the weekend.
Hey, good news for the Bears, though, that nothing happened. They're not behind.
They're in a four-way tie
Dave,
for first.
Dave, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, right. Dave.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. FootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
He got Dave! He get better bet!
He got
BB!
He got
BB!
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. And he joins us on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys? Isn't it great to have football back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. And there's so much. You know, we were just talking about the idea that apparently the NFC North has turned into last year's NFC East. And no one wants to win. It was shocking. I mean, flat out shocking to see not only the way Green Bay got beaten, but the kind of reaction from Aaron Rodgers. You know, I guess they say when a guy mentally retires, that he's retired, you got to be careful. But that was unbelievable to me.
If we take him at his word that he was 50-50 on whether to retire entering the weekend before he reported for training camp, how can he really be all in for this season? He had no engagement of any kind with his receivers, either in voluntary offseason workouts, mandatory minicamp, getting together as receivers and quarterbacks tend to do at various times in the downtime. You show up, you try to start the engine, and maybe he's had a hard time getting the engine started. And apart from the inherent distraction, and it has to be a distraction, the guy shows up and bares his soul. It was great for us in the media, but that introductory press conference had to send shockwaves through the locker room, and they're looking at him like a guy who's not going to be there next year. That has to be a factor in performance at some level. Beyond that, though, there is this weird vibe with the Packers. For as good as they've been, 26-7 in the regular season, when they go to California for a road trip far from home, they typically don't show up. They got blown out by the 49ers twice in 2019. They lost to the Chargers on a road trip there in 2019. Then last year in Florida, 38-10 to the Bucs. This year in Florida, because of the quote-unquote home game for the Saints in Jacksonville, 38-3. There's a weird flaw somewhere in that program, and it becomes more glaring when you consider that they otherwise are so damn good. I mean, those are five total losses right there for a team that, like I said, is 26-7 over the last 2 years in the regular season.
Mike, the Saints win was a stunner, and I think that last night maybe even the Raiders beating the Ravens was a surprise, but there were a lot of those around the league in week one. Which upset maybe stood out the most to you?
Well, I think the Bengals beating the Vikings, because it showed me that I was wrong about the fact that I thought the Bengals were still going to be mired in dysfunction. One of my writers had made the comment last week on the text chain that we share to keep in touch as to who's writing which story, that but for the Texans, the Bengals would be regarded as maybe the worst team in the NFL, and the Texans are providing great cover for them. Well, that changed. Joe Burrow's healthy, and mentally he wasn't affected by the lingering effects of that knee injury, the concern about having the knee in the middle of the fray. Ja'Marr Chase, who was dropping pretty much everything that came his way in the preseason, he looked great. They hung tough with the Vikings. Burrow made that gutsy call from a run to a pass on fourth and short with 50 seconds left in overtime, and it worked. It was his third read. I mean, he's amazing and impressive, and the big question was, would he be healthy this year? And he answered it convincingly on Sunday, and I feel very differently about the Bengals today than I did a couple of days ago.
Well, that's bad for the Bears. I mean, the Bears obviously welcome in the Bengals. And I, you know, you hate to say that it's a must-win week two, but it's an important game for them because of the way things went in L.A.
I can't gauge how important it is to avoid falling to 0-2 when you have a 17-game regular season. That kind of changes the perspective on everything. And for the teams in the NFC North, just like for the teams in the AFC West and the NFC West, where everyone won in week one, in the NFC North, everyone lost.
Right.
So it's week one all over again. Yeah, it's going to affect you when it comes to wild card positioning, but one of those four teams is going to win the division and host a playoff game, and they're all in the same boat. And I would say the one team that has a little bit of an edge in that regard is the Vikings, because their loss came to a team from the AFC. So that is one of the tiebreakers. And if you're going to lose your games, you want to lose in the AFC, because NFC record pops up on the radar screen if there is a tie. But they're all 0-1. And so the season starts all over again. So clean slate. And yeah, we'll see what the Bears can do against the Bengals. And we'll see how patient the crowd is with the apparent Andy Dalton indefinitely planned.
Absolutely, because Justin Fields, everybody's talking about him. Mike, I just wondered, when you look at the five rookie quarterbacks, three of the ones that started lost, but which one stood out to you among the rookies?
Well, Mac Jones, he would have won if Damian Harris didn't fumble the ball in field goal range, and assuming the kicker would make the field goal. That was a stunner to me that the Patriots did everything that they do, grind it out, don't make mistakes, don't do stupid things, and they put the ball on the ground in a key moment in the game. Credit to Xavier Howard of the Dolphins for punching it out. But Jones did what he needed to do to run that offense. Maybe it shouldn't have been that close, but I think he'll quickly mature into a guy that can get them to the playoffs. And I still think it's a matter of time before Trey Lance ends up starting for the 49ers, and they're good enough to get to the playoffs. Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, probably going to be a long year for both of them. And then with Justin Fields, we have to wait and see whether or not the pressure finally gets to the Bears. One thing I'm trying to find out is how strongly the Chiefs believe that Patrick Mahomes not playing in 2017 contributed to the guy that he became right out of the gates in 2018. Because that's the only way, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, but as we get deeper into the season now, the only way this obsession with sitting Justin Fields makes sense is if there is a firm degree of certainty within the Chiefs organization that Mahomes became Mahomes through the benefit of not playing in 2017. That's the only way it makes sense. It's still going to be hard to keep it up. It's going to be potentially impossible, especially if Dalton struggles against the Bengals on Sunday. But I feel like that's what Matt Nagy believes, and he's going to try to pull it off. It's just not going to be easy to do.
Yeah, you know, Mike, we talked about it last week. I don't know that that Andy Reid has a lot of different examples, but that obviously is one, Mahomes and how that happened. And I would imagine he's talked to Matt Nagy at least about local kid Donovan McNabb, who was drafted number two overall, much to the chagrin of Eagles fans. And I think he first started playing in week two. Same type of thing that you saw with Justin Fields. And Doug Peterson, of all people, was the starting quarterback. I think, took a little while, but McNabb eventually took over. They had a losing season, but Andy ended up going to, what, five NFC championship games with Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, there's something to be said for the approach where you keep the young guy on ice until the season is pretty much lost, and then you put him in and get him some basically extended preseason work for the next year, but really started off 0-0 in year two. We've seen the pendulum swing away from that, though, and now the presumption is if you're going to draft a quarterback, you're going to put the quarterback on the field. Mahomes is the most significant exception, and because Nagy was the offensive coordinator there, he saw it, he lived it, he experienced. He wasn't there for the payoff, but surely he's been in enough contact with the people from the Chiefs to understand why they believe Mahomes became what he did, and it very well could be that they believe that him sitting for most of 2017 helped create this guy who's now one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen.
All righty, Michael, great stuff. Great catching up with you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys. See you.
That is Mike Florio.
You know, Mahomes, I don't know if it's a great comparison either.
No, I don't agree.
I watched last night, you know, Bears repeating the Lamar Jackson experience. He didn't start until, like, late in his rookie year.
Right.
It certainly did not do anything to his development. It did not hurt him at all.
Well, he didn't.
I'm not suggesting you wait that long.
They began playing to his strengths. That's the question that I think we're left with.
And we have legitimate reason for doubts.
That's fair. So. And I mean, listen, I you know, like I said, I think Justin Fields can do a lot of different things, but that it does Matt Nagy. 312-644-6767. We're going to bring in Dan and Layla. We'll get a chance to talk to them before we're out of here. Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.